Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Coming out of a big, big weekend, Indiana beats Michigan State to complete the sweep of the Spartans on the season, and more importantly, make a real push here at the end of the season. A couple games left in the Big Ten Conference. You got to believe now with the way this team is playing, the energy they're putting forth, the success they're having on the court, and who the opponents are. Not that either of them are gimmies. We know that the Big Ten's really good, but you got to believe the opportunity's there. In fact, I would be disappointed at this point if Indiana doesn't find a way to close out conference play without a loss the rest of the way. And then I think, there's all this talk out there, so many different opinions. People have Indiana at different places. Outside of the bracket, of course, the NCAA bracket, no one has them in right now, but they are in the discussion. They are in the discussion. I would say 6 to 8 teams out of the bracket right now, Indiana one of those. If Indiana can win out the regular season, if Indiana can get some success in the Big Ten tournament, which, again, has been something tricky for this program over the years, I think they're still, as crazy as it sounds, and I've said I said I had given up hope of an NCAA tournament, and I think it's still going to take a real heck of a run here by this team. But given how they're playing and given who they're beating, I mean, even though they didn't win the Purdue and Iowa game, Purdue at home, Iowa on the road, those very easily could have been wins, and we could be talking about much more of a win streak right now than what we're talking about. But some big wins here lately for Indiana. The opportunity for postseason, at least it's back in the discussion. I mean, it's March 4th. It's March Madness. Nothing is better than basketball in Indiana in March between the college and high school game. And it's really discouraging, whether you're a fan or just covering it or whatever, to talk about IU basketball closing the regular season and heading to the conference tournament without a real chance at making the NCAA tournament. So I'm glad that that conversation is back. There's some great excitement back as well about this team, and I'm excited to see what Romeo can do. I really am in the Big Ten tournament. He's had some really solid games. He's had a great freshman year as far as some of his averages. He's been fairly consistent in most of IU's big moments. I don't think there's any question about it. He's one of the Hoosiers, if not most important players on the roster as a freshman. If you compare what he's done as a freshman up to other IU legends and other people that were at the program, whether they were just there for a year or two or all 4 years, I think he's right there near the top of any averages and any statistics that you can find that underscore his importance to this team. So I'm going to enjoy, I've told myself this, even if Indiana had not defeated Michigan State and had not won a couple games here late, and say the slide had continued, I've told myself I'm going to enjoy watching Romeo play the college game, even if that ends after the Big Ten tournament, or even if that's an NIT berth, or maybe now that there's a way to find it, the team into the NCAA tournament. But I'm going to enjoy his remaining games at Indiana, because after that, I think we'll get an announcement pretty soon that he's headed to the NBA draft in June. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, our Hoosier headlines, news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I understand Hoopster's was the place to be Saturday night. The Red Devils win their first sectional since 2013, a big win over rival New Albany in the championship game. We're going to talk about the sectionals and the winners, and really the entire weekend as a whole coming up here in our headline segment. We'll also recap some things from the IU win over Michigan State. And we'll, most importantly, if you're like me, I'm trying to always find that most updated look at the Big Ten tournament bracket as far as where would Indiana be at if the season was over now and the conference tournament began later this week. So we'll take a look at where Indiana stacks up right now. Also, we'll talk about Keon Brooks here in this first segment. He has set a decision date where he's going to make his announcement on where he will attend college. And a few other things, a couple other notes here, recruiting notes in our first segment as well, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Later in the program, segment two, I'll be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach and I will break down the IU-Michigan State game. We'll look ahead to the remaining games on this Indiana schedule, talk about the current layout of the conference tournament bracket, and again, what does Indiana need to do to make the NCAA tournament? It's becoming more and more of a discussion point once again with some of Indiana's recent success. So we'll do that in segment two with Zach of the Indianapolis Star. Then later in the program, we're going to break down some of these big sectional championship moments and winners and performances with Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Lots of interesting things to talk about. Do we have some teams in the area that can make runs beyond this sectional, maybe even beyond the regional? Do we have some winners potentially? And I think we do. We'll talk about that with Chad when he joins us a little bit later in the program. That's the guest lineup. And excuse me, those of the Honey Baked Ham, drop by Box Lunch, $1 off if you tell them you listen to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Sorry, I got a little tongue-tied there, but it's Monday, so it is what it is. Let's get into our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I thought for Indiana, really it was a fairly quiet day in general for Jawan Morgan and Romeo Langford. Neither player reached double figures in scoring. I'm not sure that that's happened between both of them this season. Maybe it did. Just thinking off the top of my head here, maybe it did that first matchup at Purdue when Romeo had an off game, and maybe Jawan had like 9 points and a ton of rebounds. But to me, that's really the first time that neither one of them had contributed double figures and had big games. They combined for 16 points, not really good shooting either, 6 of 22, but still able to find a way to win with those two players. That's kind of been a big criticism of Indiana this season is, what do you guys expect? They've got two players that can play. Well, those two players didn't have great shooting nights and didn't have great scoring nights, and Indiana still beats Michigan State. And I know Michigan State's a little beat up themselves, but they are still a very good ball club that is at the top of the Big Ten. I guess technically in the race still for a conference championship in the regular season, although things do look really favorable for Purdue to be able to bring that home. I mentioned this. We're going to talk a lot about this. It's just a natural topic that everybody wants to hear about. With the win, Indiana's tournament hopes are alive. Lots of wins still needed, but you beat Wisconsin and Michigan State back-to-back, both ranked teams, both teams that are solid locks for the NCAA tournament, and no matter where you're at, you're going to help your standing for the postseason. I don't really understand the quadrants when you hear quad one, quad two win, whatever it may be, but Indiana has 6 quadrant one victories, no losses outside of quadrant two, which I understand that will help offset 14 losses, which currently stands on Indiana's record and Indiana's resume as the committee looks at things for an at-large bid. Also, I think you got to give credit in that game, and I had to go back and watch it, but Michigan State guard Cassius Winston, wow, what a player. I mean, really unbelievable. It looked like for a great part of the day he would be the reason that Michigan State would be in the game or go on to maybe win the game. But I think he's got to be in the discussion for Big Ten Player of the Year. And then, of course, you can't talk IU on Saturday without recognizing Justin Smith. A career day for him. 6'7" forward, had 16 points of his career high, 24 points in the first half. He was really big on helping Indiana get things going early. He had 3 of his 6 three-point attempts go through the net. He had been 4 of 20 from three-point range until that game on Saturday. But what's really been a season for Justin Smith, he started out not getting a lot of time. Then he's gotten more minutes. He's athletic. He's been able to do some positive things for this IU team at times. But I've never felt like he's consistent. And obviously having a big blow-up performance like that, maybe he won't be consistent in doing that. I don't think anyone expects him to come back out the next game and duplicate 24 points for the Hoosiers and some of the other things he did in that win over Michigan State. But he showed that he has the potential, and we all thought he had the potential with his athleticism and his ability to do some things. And he finally looked like Saturday he had the confidence and was putting it all together for this Indiana team. So while I don't think we expect 24 points maybe again this season, we'll see, can he come back out and contribute a little more than what he has, at least in the scoring column, which would greatly help Indiana down the stretch and into the Big Ten tournament. Let's take a look at the tournament bracket. If it were today, Indiana would still have to play on that first round on March 13th. They are currently the 11th seed and would take on Northwestern in the second game, the late game, a 9 p.m. game in the Big Ten tournament on that first day. Then the second round, of course, they would take on Iowa if Indiana were to win. That's based on where things are at now. Obviously, there are some things that can change. And the good news is for Indiana, I had it down before the show. I don't know if I can recall it exactly, but Indiana has an opportunity to get out of that first day. Seeds 11, 12, 13, and 14 play on that first day. Indiana, the 11th seed, all they need to do is bump up one seed, and that would put them in the second day of play on March 14th, and which would be the second round, one round away from the quarterfinals. Now, look at that, and you see in that second day, 9-seeded Illinois, they play Minnesota. Again, this is the bracket as it stands right now. And also 10-seeded Rutgers right now would take on Ohio State. So those are both schools that Indiana is going to play to close this regular season, and the opportunity there to jump at least one of those teams and get into that second day of tournament play, which I think is big when it comes to, you know, Romeo playing a lot of minutes and Juwan a lot of weight on his shoulders, especially at a postseason elimination setting. Get out of that first day, get yourself to the second round. Then you've got a second round game, a quarterfinal matchup if you can get there, and then, of course, a semifinal to championship game. You're looking at four games in 4 days as opposed to 5-5, which is a difference. I don't think there's any question about it. So I think that should be the goal of this team. Win the regular season out, move into the second day of the Big Ten tournament, because they're going to need to win in that second day, the second round of the tournament, if they get that bye into the second round, to increase or help their NCAA tournament chances. In fact, and we'll ask Zach Osterman, it might take more than winning out the regular season and winning on that second day of tournament play. It may take a couple wins for Indiana to really strongly be a team that's got an opportunity to make it in. I thought this was interesting as well. No Big Ten team is ranked worse than 75th in the Ken Pomeroy ratings. I love to look at those and getting more and more into the computer rankings and all the different categories they have. Best league in the country. I don't think there's any question about that. Big Ten is really dominant from top to bottom. They've got some teams even in the bottom of the conference. I guess you could still say Indiana's in the bottom as the number 11 team currently in the standings. Obviously, bottom of the conference has beat the top of the conference many times this season, which shows you how strong the conference is. Recruiting notes, a big one. This is going to be a big week. We've got some key games for IU coming up. We've got the regionals on Saturday. And on Friday, Keon Brooks, and actually it's a couple weeks, excuse me, I'm ahead of myself. It's going to be a week from this Friday. Keon Brooks Jr. will make his announcement Friday, March 15th, 8 o'clock, and it's going to be at St. Paul's Lutheran School, which is located in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So a lot of ways to think about that. He's going back to Fort Wayne. He's not going to make the decision at La Lemire. Going back to his hometown. I don't know the connection to St. Paul's Lutheran School. I don't know if that's a church as well where the family goes, or maybe that's the elementary or the middle school that he went to before going to Fort Wayne North, before La Lemire and LaPorte. I have no idea, but obviously he's going back to Fort Wayne to make the decision. And a lot of people concerned, to be honest with you, a lot of people concerned that Kentucky has picked up a lot of steam lately. But it is interesting. It is interesting that he has sets his announcement right after a good streak by Indiana. You know, maybe he's got some renewed confidence in the Hoosiers, and he's seen some things he needs to see to know that this is a place that he wants to be and play with Trace Jackson Davis for however long those guys are there. But nonetheless, a lot of suspense. Keon Brooks is a big piece to the 2019 recruiting class, and of course a late piece he would be if he does make a decision to come to Indiana on March 15th. But again, the decision is not this Friday. Next Friday, we'll know where Keon Brooks is. So it'll be Friday, Keon Brooks announcement, Saturday, Sibba State basketball at the high school level. And of course, at that point, we'll also be into the final rounds, the later rounds of the Big Ten Conference tournament as well. Let's take a quick look at some sectional action from over the weekend before we head out of this first segment. How about Jeffersonville? The Red Devils on Friday night, they had lost to Bedford at Bedford. We know that's a tough place to play. And I expected a fairly competitive game. I would not have been shocked had the Red Devils won by, you know, 8, 10, 12 points over Bedford. But that wasn't the case. Jeff did better than that. It was never even close. Jeffersonville absolutely dominated Bedford. They had no answer for the Red Devils, their drives to the basket, their great shooting. And that put Jeffersonville into the championship game at Seymour in that first game. Great crowd at Seymour, by the way, especially by the time the second game tipped off. A lot of those people from the Jeffersonville-Bedford game, of course, the Jeff people for sure, stayed around to watch what ended up being an absolute classic matchup between Floyd Central and New Albany. Floyd, I think you had to say, was the favorite coming into the sectional. They had had a tremendous season led by Kobe Barnes. New Albany with a great defensive game plan. Kobe never really could get going, at least on the level that Kobe normally gets going. And New Albany on a last second shot by Derek Stevenson, able to eliminate the Highlanders from the tournament. It was just a tremendous environment. New Albany played as well as I think they can play in a very low-scoring defensive battle. I thought New Albany had the game won earlier than the last second shot, but fouled on a three-point play was Jake Heidbreeder. And what do you know, the sophomore goes to the line and knocks them all down for the Highlanders to tie things up with, I think, 7 seconds left in the game, and that's before New Albany came quickly back the other way, found Stevenson on the left side, three-pointer up and in with no time. It was almost perfect as far as the clock goes. There was even no time for Floyd Central to inbound the ball and take any kind of heave shot at all, but just a tremendous game and a signature win for Jim Shannon and his team and program this season without Romeo Langford and Sean East. A lot of people wondered, what would the Bulldogs do? And then when Julian Hunter went down, people thought, oh no, that's no chance of New Albany playing with Floyd Central or Jeffersonville in the sectional, and New Albany obviously able to get to the championship game. On Saturday, Jeff just too much to handle. They are playing really good basketball right now. Their guards are very strong. Freshman Will Loving's watch is coming on. We know about Trey Coleman. We know about Jacob Jones. Darren Starks continues to play great. A lot of weapons on that Jeffersonville team. And I'll tell you, we're going to talk about this with Chad Gilbert, but if Jeffersonville can get past Bloomington South, and I think you'll see South slow it down a little bit, play a little methodical to a certain degree against the Red Devils, and they're a team that can execute. They're going to score some points. They've got some shooters. If Jeffersonville can contend with them, if they can beat Bloomington South, I really believe Jeff can beat Center Grove or whoever's in the night game and go to the semi-state. Really do. So we'll talk more about that with Chad Gilbert later. But the Red Devils playing great basketball right now. Joe Luce on cloud nine. His team gets his first sectional championship since 2013. And he's had success at Richmond and Marion and other places. But he finally got that first one at Seymour, which I know was big on his checklist of things that he would like to accomplish with the Jeffersonville program. A big win for the Red Devils. And they didn't just beat New Albany in a close game. It was close through, what, 3.5 periods maybe? Or through 2.5 periods, I should say. And about the middle of the third period, that's where the Red Devils took off. There was definitely some separation between the two teams in that championship game on Friday night. Another couple notes, and I know we got to get out of this first segment. Center Grove is in the regional. Trace Jackson Davis is playing really well. He had 25 points to help Center Grove win the championship. But the last couple games for Center Grove, at least the last two, the championship game against Franklin Community, the semifinal game against Franklin Central from Franklin Township in Indianapolis, they've held the ball. And the final score in the championship game, Center Grove 29, Franklin 28 in overtime, and Trace had 25 of Center Grove's 29 points. I don't know that you'll see Center Grove post just 29 points in the regional round, although it would not surprise me if Jasper, who's kind of a surprise bid coming out of the Evansville area sectional, it would not surprise me if they tried to slow it down and hold the ball either against Center Grove. But Center Grove and Jeff could be a really good game. Center Grove and Bloomington South in the regional championship. Either one of those could be really good games on Saturday night. And obviously, Trace Jackson Davis, a Mr. Basketball candidate, putting up some big numbers in the tournament. I know he'd love to lead his team past the regional round. They've had some problems getting out of the Seymour Regional the last few years. But here's an opportunity to, and I think we're in for a good day of games at Seymour on Saturday. Also, how about Silver Creek? Silver Creek playing really well throughout the week. They really had no challenge in the championship game. And I tell you what, that regional with Bossy out, Heritage Hills out, Evansville Memorial, a little of a surprise to come out of that Evansville Southwestern part of the state sectional. Silver Creek has a great opportunity here to go to its regional at Southridge and come out of that thing as the champion and move on to the semi-state. Really a good setup for them in the regional. Now, it's regional basketball. The teams are playing well. You would expect teams to be playing their best of the season, so by no means do I think Silver Creek will prance through the regional like they kind of did the sectional, to be honest with you. But the opportunity, I think, is definitely there for this Silver Creek team to advance beyond that regional, which has kind of been a stopping block the last number of seasons. Silver Creek's won the sectional, I think, what, 4 out of 5 years? They've got to the championship game a few times, unable to get past Ballsy, unable to get through whoever the tough team has been in that regional. But things might look a little bit different this year as well. Also, in 1A, probably to me one of the bigger upsets when I was able to look at the scores on Saturday night after that New Albany-Jeff game, I was surprised to see Christian Academy lose to Lanesville. That's a great rivalry. Those two teams have played a lot in the regular season and postseason over the years. Christian Academy was able to get them, I think, at least twice in the regular season. But the third time, a charm for Lanesville. They play really well. Christian Academy does not. Lanesville heading to the regional. And I think that's a somewhat wide-open 1A regional as well. Bar Reeve is the favorite there. But I would not count out Lanesville, just like I thought Christian Academy might have a chance to get to the semi-state. I would not count out Lanesville in the regional, no question about it. Big win. And Michael Miller at Lanesville does just a terrific job and another great job for him this season. That's a look at just some of the postseason sectional championship games. So much fun right now following all of this. It's a great time of year. Regional basketball to me is even better. It's a great day with two games in one day if your team's going to win it. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see. Can Jeffersonville, can Silver Creek, can Lanesville, who can get to a semi-state game with some local ties? I think we've got a couple teams that really do have the opportunity to do so. Those are the Hoosier headlines for this Monday program presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We're headed to a commercial break. We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Lots of IU basketball discussion coming up next, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach is the IU insider for the Star, and he's kind enough to join us on Mondays to talk some IU hoops. A lot of storylines out there right now, none bigger than this team on a little bit of a winning streak and back-to-back wins over ranked teams. Zach has this IU team somewhat in the discussion again for postseason basketball, the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, why not end a weird season weirdly? You know, it's in one respect, I think, without, you know, being flippant, look, Indiana's been playing a lot better basketball since the beginning of February. And I think I've said this a number of times, if you kind of lop off that Minnesota game and treat it as the aberration rather than the rule, Indiana's been really competitive and largely against really good teams, Michigan State, Iowa, Purdue, Wisconsin. Now, they haven't completely reversed their fortunes, obviously, But I think that you can start to build sort of a case to say, well, look, they beat Michigan State twice. They beat Wisconsin at home in double overtime. Maybe it's more likely that some of those losses were just bad beats. Iowa with the Jordan Bohannon shots, you know, Ohio State with the C.J. Jackson shot, Purdue with a couple of big baskets late that were kind of unlikely or at least low percentage. Maybe it's fairer to say that Indiana just has kind of gotten itself back together here and been a little bit unlucky in maybe not being even more successful than they've been in the last, you know, seven or eight games than it is to kind of look at it and say, well, geez, you know, these are bad beats, but you keep losing these games on bad beats. Maybe that says something about you. Now, you know, there's a whole different kind of test coming up on Thursday at Illinois, and frankly, one that I think is going to be very difficult for Indiana to pass. But for now, anyway, you're right. Indiana is kind of back in this, back in at least in the conversation for the NCAA tournament. And at some level, maybe has its hands around its own postseason fortunes again for the first time in a while.
And I know I want to get into the game. There's so many things to talk about on the win for IU over Michigan State that I think are interesting. But I want to pose the same question I posed to you last week, I believe. What, in your estimation, does Indiana need to do at this point to be a serious contender, not just someone in the discussion, but a serious contender for an at-large NCAA tournament bid?
In my opinion, to be honest with you, probably not as much as a lot of people think, and could get a whole could probably get a whole lot of people yelling at me. If you ask me, if Indiana wins these next two, then Indiana is more or less guaranteed to start on Thursday in the Big Ten tournament. I think there are scenarios where they could be the 8 seed, the 9 seed, the 10 seed. I played around with this wonderful website someone created a few years ago where you can go to any conference and determine the results of every round of games, and it'll give you a conference tournament bracket. You know, it'll give you your seeds, one through whatever, and it'll lay the bracket out for you. It's unbelievably fun to play with. And it makes people like my life, people in my position's life, a whole heck of a lot easier this time of year when you are trying to figure out permutations and combinations. I could not find one where Indiana wins these last two games and doesn't get at least into the top 10 in the Big Ten, which means they'd start on Thursday. And in just about, not everyone, but just about every circumstance, Indiana play Minnesota in the first game. Personally, I think that if Indiana wins these next two, gets into that situation, and beats its first opponent in the Big Ten tournament, I think they're in. And I know that's going to sound wild to some people. I know there are IU fans that probably disagree with that. I know there are fans of other schools that I'm sure disagree with that. But Indiana has such such a healthy number of quality wins. They've got something like six quadrant one wins. They don't have a loss outside of quadrant two, I don't believe. If you start to look down, they've also got a number of quadrant two wins. Illinois, I think, would qualify as under current circumstances as a quad two win. I'm not positive about that, but I think it would. And my point is, if Indiana wins these last two, wins one in the Big Ten tournament, then you would imagine that at worst, if they get knocked out on Friday, they're getting knocked out by a good team. And so there will be no bad wins on their schedule. There will be a large quantity of wins, but there will be no bad wins. And they will have added probably a couple of more quantity than quality wins. But still, again, this team's beaten Marquette. It's beaten Louisville. It's beaten Michigan State twice. It's beaten Wisconsin. It doesn't need, you know, it doesn't need super high quality wins. It won at Michigan State. It needs quantity wins at this point, and it would get those. And on a weak bubble, there aren't going to be a lot of teams that are going to have just the total number of wins that Indiana's got against really good NCAA tournament-level competition. I personally think if they get to 18 wins, they get into the tournament.
Interesting. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, our guest, and it's really hard to believe with everything that has transpired in the second half of this season, even with all the slides and the back-to-back losses and really the losing streaks in general, that we're where we're at with Indiana talking about postseason, basketball again. But I think we forget, and you did a good job of kind of running through all the situations, but I think we forget how good the schedule was and some of the wins were for Indiana in the non-conference season, and also how good the Big Ten is as a whole. I talk about it a lot on this show, but Big Ten basketball from top to bottom is really, really good this year. Zach, I want to ask you some things about the game on Saturday. Obviously, a huge win for Indiana. They complete a sweep of Michigan State for this 18-19 college basketball season. Juwan Morgan, Romeo Langford, those guys were a little quiet. I mean, they still logged minutes, and they still did things without scoring, obviously, that helps the team be successful. But that's kind of been a lot of the, I don't want to say blame, but a lot of the reason some people say Indiana hasn't had a good second half of the year is, well, they've got two players. That's all they've got. Well, those two players didn't score a lot of points and didn't shoot it very well on Saturday, but Indiana was still able to come up with a way to win a huge game against a ranked opponent.
No, I mean, that was kind of the story of that game, and maybe at some level the story of kind of the last month and a half, and or month, I guess month plus. Let's start with the beginning of February. What you've seen in most of those games, admittedly not all of them, and some of them have just been, you know, just dog awful anyway. I mean, you think about like that Purdue game in 48-46, that kind of thing. But look at the Iowa game at Iowa. Rob Finnessy scores 13. Deron Davis has 10 off the bench. Evan Fitzner has 11. Deron Davis starts but has 10. Evan Fitzner has 11. The Iowa game in Bloomington. Big game from Romeo Langford with 22 points, but Al Durham scores 8. Rob Finnessy gets 6. My point is, you're right that what we have said about this team for a long time was that it would need other players to step up. It would need other guys to grow into bigger roles. And I think that, you know, every time I bring up injuries, I get somebody who throws a little rotten fruit at me, says they're tired of hearing it, they're tired of the excuses, whatever. I don't think it's a mistake that you're seeing Indiana get better in a lot of areas, frankly, rather quickly, as Indiana finally gets back to something approaching full strength. And obviously Indiana will never really be full strength with Jerome Hunter on the sideline, but at least full strength for what Archie Miller could hope to have right now. And you even look back to that Wisconsin game. Al Durham has 11 before fouling out. Rob Finnessy has 11, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. Justin Smith has 12 points. Juwan Morgan only scores 9, and then he fouls out, and Indiana still wins the game. Race Thompson only has 1 point, but he has 7 rebounds and some, frankly, superb defense against Ethan Happ. This is kind of the development that I think Archie Miller was talking about his team going through in November, December, even into January in the preseason. He was saying it was going to be a young team. It was going to be a team that needed to peak at the right time. It was going to be a team that needed to be deep and needed to be versatile to really get the most out of everything it had. It has never been allowed to be those things. And I've said this over and over and over this winter. And as kind of the results got worse and worse, I just heard from more and more fans who said, well, we're tired of hearing about this. We're tired of hearing about the injuries. We're tired of hearing about the excuses. And I think really what they meant, understandably, was we're tired of losing. And I get where that comes from. I completely do. But it's not a mistake. It's not a it's not an accident that all of a sudden Indiana's starting to get deeper. You even go back to that Michigan State game at Michigan State. Justin Smith has a huge day. Deron Davis has a huge day. Al Durham plays really, really well. Devontae Green plays really, really well. And Indiana wins that game effectively without Juwan Morgan, who goes out injured in the first half. Indiana always needed to be able to do this. Always needed to be able to be deep, to be multiple, to be versatile. And that was going to get the most out of some of these guys. And, you know, a lot was made out of Indiana benching Justin Smith second half in overtime at Iowa, or Archie Miller, I guess, making the decision to bench Justin Smith, and Smith's response since, again, the 12 points against Wisconsin, the career day 24 points at the weekend against Michigan State. And yes, you know, at some level, Archie Miller sort of sending that message is big. And I heard from a lot of people in January who said, why doesn't Archie use the bench to motivate some of these guys? And my response is, who's he going to replace them with? He doesn't have the bodies. There's just literally no one there he can bring in. There are games where Indiana's rolling with a 6 to 7-man rotation. It's not that easy. But I think that it's not just that you can now motivate a guy by sitting him on the bench, you know, the way that they did with Justin Smith at some level, the way they maybe did with Devontae Green against Wisconsin. It's also that you can play matchups and you can ride a hot hand and you can look at Devontae Green against Wisconsin and say, listen, you're just not playing well tonight. This isn't a malicious thing. It's not an angry thing, but we're going to go with somebody else. But then Al Durham really doesn't play much in the second half against Wisconsin. And I don't think it's because Archie Miller is benching Al Durham to send him a message. I think it's because Archie Miller is looking at the matchups and he's looking at the way the game's playing out. And he says, Devontae Green is the guy that I want in there right now. He's making big shots. He's making plays defensively and he's not making mistakes. And all season, Archie Miller has been waiting to have these kinds of options. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not trying to make Indiana out to be some, I'm not saying they're going to the Elite Eight. I'm not saying they're winning the Big Ten tournament. I'm not saying, oh, everything's fixed now and they're going to be so good. That's not what I'm suggesting. But all year we've talked about, sort of in I think a more academic or hypothetical way, what do the injuries take away from this team? It's really easy now that a lot of these guys are back healthy. Deron Davis is healthy. Al Durham is healthy. Race Thompson is healthy. Zach McRoberts even is giving you some quality spot minutes. It's really a lot easier now to be able to see what this team could have, should have been without those injuries and what those injuries took away from this team. And I think it's going to be fascinating. Again, I think Thursday night's going to be really tough. But I think it's going to be fascinating to watch this team down the stretch of this week and then into next week in Chicago, because all of a sudden, I'm not saying like, oh, Indiana's playing the best basketball in the Big Ten, but you do very much get the sense this is a team that really, there's a lot of coaches probably looking at bracket scenarios on Friday afternoon thinking, could we just avoid having Indiana on our side? We really don't want to see them on a Thursday. We really don't want to see them on a Friday.
Yeah, definitely. Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis star. Can't let you go without switching gears to recruiting for just a moment. We found out yesterday that Keon Brooks will make an announcement coming up here in a few weeks, Friday, March 15th, 8 p.m. at St. Paul's Lutheran School in Fort Wayne. There's been some concern about his standing with Indiana, primarily because I think of Indiana's slide here in the second half of the year, but the Hoosiers have rebounded a bit. Obviously, I'm sure he watched that Indiana-Michigan State game with some intense moments there because he's being recruited, hardly by both of those schools. So your thoughts on what do you hear, what do you know, what do you think about his decision to go back to Fort Wayne instead of make his announcement at the La Lemire School where he's at in LaPorte? Any just general thoughts from you on his recruitment as we head down to the decision, really, in less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. Friday night of conference tournament week is a strange time to announce a commitment. But when you're ready, you're ready. I think it's, at this point, kind of clear that Keon Brooks has seen a lot of what he needs to see. He obviously had a visit to Kentucky recently. I think then he canceled the visit to Michigan State. I'd be curious to see if he visits anywhere this weekend, and I have no idea what La Lemire's schedule is. So maybe I'm just kind of – I'm basically putting that out blindly, but with it's just kind of a random thought falling out of my head. But with kind of one more open weekend and one more regular season weekend before before his announcement, I just wonder if he has the time to get a visit in, if he does go somewhere. There was that strong sort of feeling that it was going to be, I guess for a long time, it just sort of felt like Indiana was sort of the default favorite, if you will. That has changed. It seems like the wind has really shifted to Kentucky since that visit. As far as I know, I'm looking at Max Preps. La Lemire does not have a game this weekend. But that all seemed to kind of shift to Kentucky after that visit and after he canceled the Michigan State visit. I for a long time, I have abided by a maxim that was taught to me by a man named Barton Simmons, who covers football recruiting for 24/7 Sports. And Barton would always just say, if you're not sure where a recruitment's going, the best advice I can give you is to follow the visits. Who's gotten the most visits? Who's gotten the most recent visits? And certainly at the moment, that's Kentucky. Maybe not the most visits, but obviously the most recent visit. If you're Indiana, every day you get further removed from that Kentucky visit is probably good news, is probably, a positive. But I would still tend, you know, just this is not insider information. This is not somebody whispering in my ear so much as this is me having covered more than my share of basketball and football recruitments, high-level recruitments, recruitments that came down to, you know, sort of, I don't want to say the final days because he's got a lot more time to make the decision, Keon Brooks, but certainly came down to kind of the last stages of a recruiting cycle, recruitments that involved a lot of big-time schools. This one's got IU and Michigan State and Kentucky and others. You know, right now if I'm reading the tea leaves, I'm guessing Kentucky. But I would be interested if there's any room for a visit anywhere, whether it be IU or somewhere else this weekend for Keon Brooks.
Definitely good stuff from Zach Osterman, IU insider for the Indianapolis Star. You can read his work at indystar.com/sports. Zach, thanks for the chat. Interesting times for IU basketball. We'll continue to keep with you on Mondays for the very latest.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes, absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star. Just seeing this, actually, Zach, one I'm reading that tweeted this out earlier as we were in the middle of our first segment. Jim Delaney will step down as the Big Ten commissioner at the end of his current term, which is set to expire in June of 2020. So just over a year from now, that's per a release from the Big Ten Conference. I don't think that there's a big surprise there. I think that maybe some people expected he might be getting near retirement, but new commissioner for the Big Ten Conference coming here in about a year or so. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. I'm excited to talk more about what I started on in the first segment, some of the high school basketball storylines coming out of the weekend. Best time of the year, state tournament underway, sectional round is now in the book. I love the regionals, love the semi-state, and of course state finals are fun as well, but the next 2 weeks are just some great opportunities for really good games. And let's hope we have some good local representation, at least for a few more weeks, if not beyond, for some of our local teams. So Chad Gilbert next to break down some of the big performances and the big championship wins on Saturday night for some of our local teams, Jeffersonville and Silver Creek, of course, namely at the top of that list. But we'll talk about those and more coming up next. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Don't forget that the Big X Pizza Tour Card is now available. You can enjoy the best pizza in Southern Indiana with a gigantic discount. Special offers. These are great offers from Berno's, Boomba's Tap House, Sardano's, and Sellersburg. It's valued at $150, but you can buy your card today for just $59 at Big X Sports Radio. And speaking of pizza, I'll be at Sardano's tomorrow in Sellersburg. We'll be doing the show live from Sardano's. Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek is going to come across the street and join me for the first segment tomorrow, and we look forward to having you in attendance as well. If you'd like to come by and catch some of the show, ask a couple questions with our guests coming on tomorrow, and maybe eat lunch as well, we'd love to have you come by Sardano's in Sellersburg. It's right across the street from Silver Creek Middle School, Silver Creek High School. Love to see you there. We'll be there a little before 11 o'clock as we get ready to go on the air live at 11 o'clock on Tuesday. Chad Gilbert is my guest. Chad is the Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board member. And, Chad, what a weekend. You were busy hosting the 3A sectional at your place in Charlestown. I was at Seymour for the 4A deal. Just a great weekend of games. And I tell you what, Friday night at Seymour, that crowd, the finish to the New Albany Floyd game, a lot of things that continue to remind us each and every year why this is just a special, special time to be a Hoosier.
Well, Matt, first off, I can't get my thoughts straight. You talked about these pizza cars. I can't quit thinking about pizza right now. Big guy like me got to eat. But no, you're exactly right. Friday night is the best night for sectional time. You got your teams in there that are really going at it, trying to survive to get to that championship game. We had a near capacity crowd here. You know, Seymour was going to be packed, and just a great way to spend a Friday night watching teams go in advance and go through this tournament. You know, there are lots of upsets throughout the state, and you know, you talked about locally up there with the 4A. You know, what a tournament. You know, it's as good as one and done as you can get. You don't have to be the best team, but you have to be the best team that night. And you talk about Floyd Central hitting the last second shot. Or, sorry, New Albany hitting the last second shot against Floyd Central. New Albany, what a great effort this year, Matt. You know, you think about Julian Hunter going down. The New Albany coaching staff and players, you know, really rallying. And, you know, they coached them up. They won, you know, 11 in a row going in, and five of their last six, you know, or five of those with Hunter being hurt. So a great job for New Albany. You know, everybody wishes Julian a speedy recovery, but what a great job by the New Albany staff, you know, on this, talking about Seymour. But on the other side, on that one, you talk about Jeffersonville, you know, which was my pick to win on that one. You know, again, if you have the most talent, you usually win in that one. And Jeffersonville is extremely talented up and down the line. They've won 10 in a row, and Coach Luce has done an excellent job with those guys. They are playing excellent basketball right now. They shoot, they defend, they have a great point guard, great swing players, great shooters, and a great freshman. You know, if you press me right now to pick a winner in that 4A regional, which we'll talk about in just a little bit, I'm going to go with the Red Devils on that one. J.R. Holmes, he's not the leading scorer in the state because just in longevity, he's an outstanding coach. You know, has outstanding players, and this year is no exception. It's, you know, I'm going to go again with the talent, and I'm going to say Jeffersonville is going to win that. And I think whoever wins that morning game, Matt, has a great chance to advance out of that regional.
Yeah, I agree completely.
And, you know, and with the other side, you know, Jasper, hats off to Jasper, who's came in. You know, New Albany, talk about New Albany just a little bit more. They held Jasper to 20 points, and Jasper's playing in the regional. But on the other side, you've got a McDonald's All-American again. But, you know, I can't say how well the Devils are playing. I think those guys are going to be your winners coming out of that regional.
I think they've got a good opportunity to do so. You know, we started talking about Jeff, I don't know, middle of the season, definitely after the New Albany and the Floyd Central games in early to mid-January, that, you know, they've got a nucleus of guys. Obviously, Trey Coleman is being recruited at a high level. We know about him. He's a big guy that can play on the interior but can step out as well. Jacob Jones really handles the ball, speedy. He's got a jump shot. We knew that he was good. Darren Starks, a transfer, he came on for the Devils. Not early. I wouldn't say he came on early in the first few weeks of the season. It took him a little time. He hit that game winner against Floyd Central in the regular season and really built some confidence there. And we knew that if those three guys played well and all put up a good number of points as they did a lot of the Jeff victories this regular season, we knew they would be a contender for some postseason success. I don't know that I thought Will Lovings-Watts, a freshman, would come on and be as consistent of a shooter and player as he has been for the Devils. That took him all of a sudden not just to a nucleus of three, but four or even five, maybe more coming in off the bench that makes them really, really dangerous. And I agree with you. When I think about Seymour this weekend, I think if Jeffersonville gets past Bloomington South, and I think that could be a really good game, but I think if the Devils get past Bloomington South, they've got a great opportunity to advance to another week of high school basketball in the state tournament.
Well, I agree with you 100%, Matt. And I think, you know, you think about the Jeffersonville team, it reminds you a lot of those old North Central teams with Riviera and those guys that advanced and beat Jeffersonville, you know, in 2010. They kind of got that kind of that feel to them. You know, maybe a Lawrence North team of last year where there's not a whole lot of size but a whole lot of quickness and kids who can really shoot the ball and really defend. So I look for those guys to have a good weekend this weekend and make a deep run in it. So, you know, those guys are playing well at the right time. But, Matt, you talk about a 3A. You know, we had our tournament up here. We had great crowds Friday night. Great administration, great coaching staff from all seven teams involved. And, you know, just one quick shout-out to the workers up here. It's not easy for our guys. We've hosted the girls sectional, boys sectional, girls regional. And so our workers are kind of taxed out, and they worked hard, so I just want to give them a quick shout. But talk about Silver Creek giving shouts. My goodness, Matt, absolutely loaded. Well-coached, well-oiled, play together. They get a chance to make a deep, deep run. Now, with them playing Memorial's not going to roll over. I know we've talked about Memorial in football a lot. Some Hoosier Hills Conference guys in there. Ronnie Combs' son plays for Memorial. Pat Graham's son plays for Memorial. Memorial has a big kid going to Austin Peay. They won't roll over. But I think Silver Creek is just too good. I think this is their year to come out and make a deep run and see what they can do next week. But Silver Creek looks extremely well up here, well-oiled, fine-tuned, and ready to go.
And I know Brandon Hoffman will cringe when we say this or talk about this, but, you know, for the Dragons this year, who are, I think, better than what they have been and playing extremely well from top to bottom, and that means from seniors all the way down to freshmen, really, that contribute to that varsity team. It's also a regional where there's no Evansville Ballsy or there's no Heritage Hills, and I think maybe before that it was Greensburg a few years ago that was just the dominant team that made a couple runs out of that regional deep into the state tournament. This year, if you were going to label the team to be one of those favorites, it would be Silver Creek. And so Brandon Hoffman's team will go into that regional, I think, with a real opportunity to come out. Now, as you said, Memorial 15-9 on the year, they're going to be solid, they're going to be tough. But his team with a real opportunity there this year, things a little different, I think, for the Dragons this year as they head into that regional.
They've been there, they're seasoned, and I think they got a great chance, you know, because this – I don't think Brandon will cringe. I think Brandon has put in the work. I think he's put in the effort. I think he's going to have that chip on their shoulder where this is ours to win. And I think they'll go down there, and I think they will win and represent the Mid-Southern Conference in the semi-state. Now, one thing, Matt, on the 2A South in Paoli, it might be the most interesting regional of them all. It has two of the best coaches in the state, Jerry Baumhold at Southwestern and Joey Hart at Linton Stockton. Joey Hart, again, we've had some great coaches. Just get away from us here at Charlestown. Joey Hart was one of those guys many moons ago who we slipped through our hands at Charlestown, who is an excellent coach at Linton Stockton. Paoli, a solid team who's well-coached and big sophomore. But one team in there to watch out for is Tell City, led by former New Albany player and assistant coach Matt Lynch. Matt's taken those guys the last 4 years who've came in, played well together, and they've gotten over the hump in this sectional, and it looks for them to make a, you know, a great run in the regional. But I'm still going with my original pick of Southwestern. I think Jerry Baumholt's awfully hard to play against, and that his zone really creates problems as you advance in the tournament.
Chad Gilbert, he's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board member. Chad, thanks for the chat. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. Don't forget, I'm live at 11 o'clock tomorrow at Sir Dano's Pizza in Sellersburg. Join us for the show live from Sir Dano's.